Welcome into the Locker Room News Radio 610 KONA Saturday morning. Presented by Jason Hogue, agent with American Family Insurance. Philly Rob hanging with you this morning. Joining me in studio, you know, we let you in on the secret, well, towards the end of last year, about new indoor football team, professional indoor football team coming to Tri-Cities, the Tri-City Rush. And joining me in studio right now is team owner and general manager Brandon Tate, and team owner and head coach Brandon Tate, and general manager Matt Cooley. Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you guys for coming in today. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
So let's talk a little bit because I know there are a lot of people. If there's one thing that this community does love, it's good football, and they're especially excited about indoor football because we had such a good run with the Tri-Cities Fever for such a long time. There are a lot of people in this community just aching to have an indoor football team that they can stand behind, be passionate about, and one that's going to be competitive. So, Brandon, let me start with you. When did you get the idea to bring indoor football back to the Tri-Cities? When did you decide that you wanted to get involved in that aspect?
It's something me and Cooley have been talking about since last season with our outdoor football team. We've really liked the Fever over the years and the success they've had. And our outdoor team, it's been very successful. We've been nationally ranked. But you can only do so much with minor league football. And we're ready to make that move to the pro level. We got the community behind us. And, you know, early, you know, last season, we just had that idea, started working on it, you know, on the backside. Didn't want to make an announcement until we got farther along. But definitely something we've been working on for a while.
You know what, I imagine that, obviously, with COVID and everything that's going on with that, it gave you guys a little bit more time to dive in, to do your research, and figure out if this was something not only, you know, because there's a lot of people that want to do something, but finding the feasibility, being able to make it work, and being able to do it in a way that you guys want to do it so that you're proud of the product and that you are doing right by the community. Because I think we all know that the Tri-Cities is a very passionate community. They will get behind you. They're very forgiving, but don't try to sell them a bad bill of goods. And so that, you know, wanting to do all that and make sure that you're giving the community the right product, the best product, COVID gave you guys a lot of time to really figure out if you want to go down this road.
We usually kick off in March. This season's been backed up to May. So we've got a couple extra months to prepare. And we've been, you know, looking at all the options. And one of the main things we wanted to do was bring the community back to support the team. A lot of them got burned previously. So we have, you know, special discounts for the guys that got the two-season tickets that weren't able to get that last season. We're going to offer them a special code. That way, you know, they can get a little something back and, you know, hopefully earn that support back to the team.
You know, and that's one thing, too. And I can remember the big challenge is always when the community feels slighted. You know, it happened with AF2, where the community felt that they got a raw deal with AF2, and then the Cars come back, bring the franchise back, put time and effort into it, but it wasn't the same in some ways. You guys are picking up now, trying to right the wrongs of a previous ownership that, you know, in my opinion, didn't really seem to be here for the right reasons. You guys live here. You've had a football product at the semi-professional level for a number of years. You've had a good fan base and a good following. You've put a great product on the field in that regard. There's no reason to believe that that is not going to follow suit with the indoor team. Because if there's one thing, and you know, I'm familiar with both of you from working with you with the Rage, that there is nothing but absolute 100% dedication and commitment to putting the best product on the field.
Yeah, I mean, that's the number one thing we want to do is, you know, bring a team that the community wants to see. I mean, nobody wants to come in and watch a team lose, you know, by 80 points. So we're bringing in a competitive team. The league we're in is set up nicely where everyone's on the West Coast. Typically with arena leagues, they're more of a East Coast. So I know with the Fever, a lot of times they had to travel, but we're really able to focus, you know, on our local area and limited travel and really just put together the best team that we can. And I know you've seen some of the guys we've signed. I mean, we're having a nice collection of NFL guys, guys from the Eagles, guys from the Bengals, Bears, you know, and they want to come here and they want to play for us. There's a lot of different options out there as far as teams and leagues. But we're having guys fly in from Texas and Ohio to try out for a brand new team because they know, you know, our past and what we bring, and they're just super excited to get involved in our organization.
It's the Locker Room. We're talking with Tri-City Rush owner Brandon Tate, and we're going to switch gears now to general manager Matt Cooley. And Matt, in building this team that Brandon was alluding to, takes work, which means you got to do tryouts in order to see, you know, you can have guys come in from Ohio and Texas, but that's not how you're going to build, you know, completely build your team and get guys on the roster. So you're going to have tryouts at the local level. And tell us a little bit about what you guys have coming up for those that might be interested in playing for the Tri-City Rush.
Yeah, so with that, tryouts February 20th, it's going to be over by the Elite Athletic Sports Complex. And with that, you know, it's a $70 registration, you know, and some people, you know, are hesitant on that. But a lot of it is, you know, working with professionals, you know, getting that work in. You know, you register online on the website. You can check us out on the Facebook, but, you know, the website, tricityrush.com. You know, you go there, you can see everything that we're doing. But, you know, register online, come out, work with some professional coaches, see where you're at, you know, in your career. You know, if you need the extra work, we're going to give it to you. You know, if we feel like you're ready to get to that professional level, then, you know, you're going to get an invite to camp. You know, but we have guys getting signed from WSU, looking from Oklahoma, those kind of, you know, D1 schools. But at the same time, you know, there's a lot of local talent here. You know, and we're giving them the opportunity.
You know, and in my opinion, you guys have one of the best ambassadors for indoor football in this town who committed to you guys early, and that's former Fever player Keithon Fleming, who's going to suit up and play for you guys this year. You know, you want to talk about professional.
Exactly.
I mean, to a T, this guy is professional. Guys that come out are going to have an opportunity to work with him and, you know, be on the field with a guy who was in the NFL. And looking to help get you guys off the ground and put his – I mean, that to me, that makes a statement, him willing to put his name with you guys to help launch the Tri-City Rush and put you guys on a firm footing with the community.
Yeah, and that's – you know, we're – truly blessed to have, you know, an opportunity to work with him and have him be part of the organization. You know, he's saying, you know, if this is his last ride, you know, once it's over, he wants to get into the front office with us.
Awesome.
You know, and to be able to have that as a part of our organization, you know, and the young men coming in, being able to learn from him and ask him questions and him give them the direction that they need, you know, is just one of the pieces to my recruiting. You know, and once these guys, you know, meet him, know him, you know, they go, okay, like, he's a true professional, meaning, you know, the organization is just as professional as the men that we have in our organization.
We're going to take our first time out here in the Locker Room, News Radio 610 KONA. We come back, we're going to talk more with Tri-City Rush owner Brandon Tate, general manager Matt Cooley. We'll give you some ticket information, how you can get tickets as well. As Brandon mentioned, season will begin in May. And we'll also run down the teams in the league. It's a little bit larger than it was a couple years ago. So we'll give you all that information as well when the Locker Room returns. Locker Room, News Radio 610 KONA, presented by Jason Hogue, agent with American Family Insurance. Billy Robb, along with the owner of the Tri-City Rush, owner and head coach Brandon Tate, and general manager Matt Cooley. Now, guys, round two of the open tryouts is coming February 20th, and both of you, I'd like you to weigh in on this because both of you do talent evaluation, obviously. You've been doing it for a number of years with the Rage, with the outdoor team. When you have an open tryout, you're looking for guys, obviously, that you can put on the roster, guys you may have to groom. What are some of the things for those that might be interested in coming out and trying out on the 20th? What are some of the things that you guys are looking for as talent evaluators for the positions that are still open and available that you're looking to bring guys into the team for?
We're just looking for a lot of guys that look smooth. I mean, it's really easy to say, but a lot of people, they come out and just the way they run, the way they move, you can tell that they belong at a different level. One of the best corners that we signed from the first tryout, we thought, you know, he was from a D1 school, you know, came from somewhere big. He had been playing semi-pro football in Seattle, but when you watch him play, you could not tell that. I mean, he looked amazing. It's just guys like that have not got the opportunity. They have the skill level, but they don't have the opportunity or the option to play at a different level. And so we're just looking for guys like that. When they come out there, everybody's on the same level. You know, if you're D1 or whatever, you know, we don't know that when we're looking at you. We just see a bunch of faces out there. So the talent really, you know, rises, and we get to see who the actual players are out there.
You know, and there are differences, and Matt, maybe you can speak to this. You know, there is a little bit of a difference in the style in the game. You know, the way you play as an offensive lineman in the indoor game is a little bit different than the way you play in the outdoor game. So I imagine that there are also other skill sets that you're looking for that while they may be passable for the outdoor game, they're going to need to be tighter for the indoor game. And so you know, it's not just being able to stand in front of a guy in the indoor game. You have to also be able to move and have good reflexes and have a quick first step, a quicker first step than you would in the outdoor game.
Yeah, and with that, you know, it just comes down to your first step, you know, and not just sitting on the couch. You know, you're actually in the gym, you're working on your craft, you understand your craft, you study your craft, you know, and to be able to do that, you know, and bring that to the tryout, you can see that within first step, second step. You know, you go, okay, this kid actually has the skills and fundamental abilities that are going to be coachable. And with that, you know, it's also the character that we're looking at. You know, a guy who wants to come out and learn and be better. You know, you have some guys coming out that, you know, they think they already know the game. They think they already know how to play the game. You know, but, you know, we're looking at how athletic these guys are. You know, with COVID, a lot of people have sat at home. There's some who want it and want the opportunity, so they're out working on it. You know, but, yeah, it just really comes down to the speed, your athleticism, and want, will, and drive.
And the other thing, too, is they're going to have to be good ambassadors,
yes,
and good guys in the community.
Exactly.
Because that's going to be part of the job, too, is representing the team in the community, doing things in the community. You know, because I know public service has always been a big deal for you guys, and making sure the guys are out there and giving back to the community in whatever ways that are afforded.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the biggest things with me, you know, as the general manager. You know, I can bring in the best athletes, but if you're not built for the game mentally, meaning, you know, being a professional, you know, we don't want you, you know. But, and that's where we talked about, you know, Keithon Fleming. You know, the guy is a straight professional in every sense of the way, you know. So, yeah, you know, being a great athlete isn't just everything for us.
Now let's talk about tickets, guys, because obviously we want people in the stands. You know, we want people to be excited about the product, and they should be, because indoor football, and we've all seen it when it's done right, and we've seen it when it's not done right. When indoor football is done right, it's one of the most exciting things that you can watch, be in the stands for, and participate in. It can be loud, it can be rocking, it can be a great time. When it's done wrong, we see what we had a couple years ago, where there's nobody there and you can hear the crickets inside louder than the crickets outside. And you put a bad product out there and the community's just not going to, they're not going to turn around. They're not going to support you, especially if they don't believe that you're there for them. You know, so we already know we've got that established, that you guys are here for the community. You want the community to be a part of this because you guys are going to be a part of a community with the Tri-Cities Rush. So if people are interested in tickets, talk to us a little bit. You mentioned a little bit about what you're doing to help those that were season ticket holders of the previous entity that was in town. But just in general, kind of lay out what you guys have envisioned for ticket packages and what are out there right now for people and how many different ways they can get involved.
Yeah, well, the main difference people are going to notice right away is we're moving to the HAPO Center in Pasco. And it's a big facility, and one of the best things we like about it is how we can customize the seating. We've added table seating in the front row, turf tables we call them, and it's been our most popular ticket you can buy. I mean, you get a table with five seats, you get your own private waiter, and people really responded to those. I mean, they're selling up fast to the point where we're running out of tables. We got to open up, you know, more spots to put tables in. And then we have, you know, our general admission tickets that we're going to offer. It's going to be a way for guys to get to the game without spending a ton of money. And we have a party zone we have planned and a fan zone. But we have, I think, about six, seven different ways that we are offering tickets this year, especially with the COVID and all that going on. The tables are planned, you know, they're 10 feet apart. So if we end up in a situation where we have to spread people out with the size of HAPO, we can give people their personal tables.
We're going to go to the phones. We've got a question. You're up on the Locker Room News Radio 610 KONA. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Well, I guess they didn't want to stick around. But they can give us a call back if you have any questions for owner and head coach Brandon Tate, general manager Matt Cooley. Didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Continue with the tickets, Brandon.
We have several different options, you know, different price points that we want to be able to invite everybody in the community. You know, some want to sit in the front row, some want to sit back with their friends, and we have, you know, customized seating in the middle. If you take a look at our options at tricityrush.com/tickets, you can get a good picture of what the seats are going to look like and the view that you're going to look like, and then you can also pick out the exact seat you want. A lot of issues past season ticket holders had is they allowed everyone to purchase their tickets, but they didn't get to pick their seat until like the day of or the week of the first game.
All right, let's go back to the phones. You're up in the locker room. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, I'm Bruce in Kennewick. I'm really excited to hear about indoor football coming back to the Tri-Cities, but I'm so worried that the governor's just going to close this all down. I know the season doesn't start until May. Do you think we'll be able to go inside and actually watch football?
Well, Bruce, let's turn that over to Brandon and Matt and get their thoughts on it.
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty confident. I mean, a lot of it we're trying to look to the future and anticipate. But with the vaccine out there now and the amount of people they're planning to vaccinate over the next few months, you know, we're really confident that we can get people in there. And even if it's limited seating, you know, early, we hope by mid-season that, you know, we're able to pack the stadium. And as big as the HAPO facility is, even if we're able to only do 25%, we can still fit like 1,200 to 2,000 fans in there, which is still a great amount to start with.
Thanks for the question, Bruce. Appreciate it. Thanks for the call. And, you know, that is one thing certainly that people are going to be thinking about. But like you, I choose to... I choose to look at it in a manner of positive. You know, I think that by May we should be ready to rock and roll, and you know, if you got to wear a mask or sit 6 feet, we can still have football. Mm-hmm. You're up in the locker room. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Philly Starhead here.
What's going on, Danny?
Hey, I just crawled the truck, and you caught my attention when you said something about some kind of from people who bought the season tickets and got screwed over on the last one. These guys got something to do to try to make it right with us or something. Did I miss that, or is that upcoming?
No, you didn't miss it at all, Starhead. In fact, Brandon's going to take the opportunity to repeat it since he's got one of those screwed over previous season tickets on the phone.
One of the main things we're trying to do is give you guys a discount. We know it's not a lot, and we wish we could do more, but we're offering a 15% discount to anybody that got burned by the previous administration. And you can reach out to us on Facebook or send us a message, and we'll get you the coupon code to get that. You know, we know it's not a ton, but we're hoping we can earn your guys' support back and, you know, offer that discount year in and year out so you guys can get that money back that you lost.
Well, I'm a long time trying to support whatever sports come to Tri-Cities. And, I bought two of those packages before. And, obviously the first year they were here, wasn't a lot to look at. But I was looking forward to that second year and talked to them right up to within a week of the time they folded. No hint at all that they were going to.
Thanks for the call, Starhead. Appreciate it. And already, the owners of the Tri-City Rush looking to take the opportunity to make good on the mistakes of the previous regime. So, guys, give you each an opportunity before we end things up here to put out some last words. What else do you want the community to know that we may not have touched on? Brandon, we'll start with you.
We just want to know that we're here for the community. We're trying to build a product, something that's going to be long-lasting. We were real fans of Terry Carr and what she did with the Fever, and we saw how successful that was and how it brought the community together, especially with what we're going through right now in the world. We want to be able to bring everybody together and give people an option to sit down and relax and enjoy some football and just have a good day.
Matt?
We talked a little bit about the possibility of it not being able to happen. This morning I just read, the state senators introduce a bill that would reopen restaurants to 25% capacity right away, and that's right now. So we believe by May, we're going to be able to have fans in the stands. So, tricityrush.com, check out the website, look at the tickets, and we're ready to go.
Check out the website for the tickets and also information on the second open tryout that's coming up February 20th at Elite Athletics Training Facility. So get more information and register for that tryout there. Get your season tickets and get excited for Tri-City Rush football coming in May. Indoor games back here in Tri-Cities. Brandon Tate, the owner and head coach. Matt Cooley, general manager. Thank you guys for coming in this morning. Appreciate it. Best of luck. And, as always, keep us in the loop. We'll get out what we can to help you guys as much as we can to get it out there and get people in the stands and get behind another great local team.
Yeah, thanks for having us on.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Our pleasure. Going to take a quick time out. Locker Room, News Radio 610 KONA, back in a few. Been a rough week. Yesterday, the news came down that the real home run king, Hank Aaron, passed away at the age of 86. We'll talk a little bit about that. We'll also touch on the AFC and NFC championship games tomorrow and coaching hires. There's been a flurry of them in the last week as well in the NFL. There's only one job left now, and the speculation is nobody wants it. We'll talk about why that is as well. More of the Locker Room. News Radio 610 KONA presented by Jason Hogue, agent with American Family Insurance. Set up an appointment to talk insurance with Jason in the new year. Visit his website, jasonhogue.com. Back in the Locker Room, News Radio 610 KONA. 547-1610 is the number if you'd like to get involved. Philly Rob, Jason joining the program. And it's presented by Jason Hogan with American Family Insurance. Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Yeah, good morning. Good morning. It was fun to hear about some football.
Absolutely.
Coming to the area.
Absolutely. Tri-City Rush. Indoor football team, they're going to do well here, I think. I think they're going to put a great product on the field. And, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be ready and willing to support another locally owned indoor football team. So,
people thinking proactively about, just giving us something to do for after having a year of nothing to do. Is just going to be amazing.
Yep. Jason, I want to start off, it was rough news yesterday when it broke that Hank Aaron, the true home run king, passed away at the age of 86, passed away in his sleep. To me, the first thing that I think of when I think of Hank Aaron, You know, the first image is obviously rounding the bases after he hit 715, and people, you know, we saw that lasting image of a couple of fans running on the field and running with him. But Hank Aaron was the model of consistency at the plate. I mean, he never hit 50 home runs in a season, but he just hit practically the same amount of home runs every single year in his career. The guy was consistency at the plate personified.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the few players. You look up their baseball reference page, and this is someone who hit from the moment he came up and basically hit until for 20 years. For 20 seasons was 30 to 45 home runs every year, 100-plus RBIs, 300 batting average. You know, he is – because his last 3 years, when he was getting older, he was, 20, 12, and 10 in home runs.
Sure.
Prior to that, even when he was setting the record, it was 40 home run, 34, 47, 38, 44, 39, 44, every year for 20 seasons.
Yep.
Just one of the – might go down as the most underrated baseball player in history because he wasn't Willie Mays. Because he was probably never the best at any given time because of Willie Mays and Mickey Mantle. And then you went into Reggie Jackson in the 70s and the good pitchers, the Bob Gibsons of the world. He was probably never considered the best of the best at that moment. But what a career.
You know, it's amazing that when you look at Hank Aaron's career, how many major league records do you think that he still holds?
Gosh darn it. This is one of those trivia questions I should have looked up before you, because I knew you were going to drop this on me to make me sound dumb. I honestly, and I don't know if you're counting like which ones you're counting, like the true ones, like we're ripping out the steroid era, or if you're just, but I would bet he's probably – 5, 6?
Overall, Hank Aaron still holds major league records for RBIs, 2,297. Total bases, 6,856. Extra base hits at 1,477. He's third all-time in hits, third all-time in games played, fourth all-time in runs scored. Not to mention 24 or more home runs from 1955 to 1973, which is a record. One of only two players to hit 30 or more home runs 15 times in a season. You know, Hank Aaron, as you said, people don't truly understand how great of a hitter Hank Aaron was because they were flashier. You know, when people think of Willie Mays, do they think that Willie Mays was at one point in time third all-time in home runs, or do they think of Willie Mays for the catch?
Yeah, the catch.
Absolutely. So there was nothing flashy about Hank Aaron. He wasn't flashy in the field. He wasn't flashy at the plate. He was just that good that you forgot how good he was because he went out and he played the game like an everyman.
Well, and I think, and I mean, this player is a little flashier in today's game, but I equate it to similar to Mike Trout, who's who right now is the best player in baseball. It has been for years, but he doesn't do a lot of advertising stuff. He's not super engaging with the media. He's not, dyeing his hair blonde or, running around. He does make a few crazy plays, but sometimes these guys are so good, they don't make crazy plays because they don't have to, because they're in position. And they are ahead of things. And Hank Aaron was one of these guys that, and frankly, he didn't play on a ton of winners either. That's another thing. Early on with Milwaukee, he did. But they weren't they weren't a, you know, a top two or three team every year with, you know.
Yeah, and so, they were great when they moved to Atlanta.
Right. I mean, he only won one MVP and regularly was, I mean, he was in the top 3 to 5, 6.
Yep.
But there were some years, like in 1960, he hit 40 home runs, 126 RBIs, hit .292, led the league in total bases, led the league in, like, sacrifice flies, 11th in the MVP voting.
No, absolutely. But here's the thing about Hank, too. With Hank Aaron, he never held a single season mark, but he has a number of career marks because of that consistency.
Yeah, it's just amazing to me. And it shows you back then how much of the voting was basically done out of, you know, certain media markets. And it was designed around who was the best player kind of on the best team. Because, there were years, I mean, that he's hitting 40-plus home runs, 120, 130 RBIs, hitting .300 in his fifth, sixth, seventh in the MVP voting. I think in today's metrics, where we use a lot of analytical stuff and look at walks and on-base percentage and all these things, I think he's regarded more heavily.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He was a career .305 hitter. I mean, in career 300, you know, career north of 300. It just, again, you know, Hank Aaron, for those people that know the game of baseball, love the game of baseball, Hank Aaron is in everybody's top five list.
And put it this way, Rob, if he shuts it down three seasons earlier, if he didn't play his last three seasons, he still would have had the home run mark. Still probably would have had the RBI mark, would have had still had over 3,000, you know, 3,500 hits.
Yeah.
Even if he didn't, so he wasn't one of these guys that hung on for like 4 or 5 seasons playing, you know, 50 games, 80 games to just try to knock 10 over the wall and get 100 hits so they could get to 300. This was a guy who had a Hall of Fame career and probably could have cut it 5-6 years short and still would have been in the top 5 in all these categories.
More than likely. Without a doubt, top 5. Easy. Going to take a quick time out. Come back. We're going to talk NFL. Got AFC and NFC Championship games coming up tomorrow. And there's only one coaching vacancy left in the NFL. We'll get to it when we get back in the locker room. Locker room. News Radio 610 K1A, presented by Jason Hoag, agent with American Family Insurance. Billy, Rob, Jason hanging with you. So, Jason, not really surprised by the results last week of the championship games for the AFC crown. It will be the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills. And for the NFC title, it will be the Green Bay Packers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Both games have the potential to be great games. My question to you, as a devout Kansas City Chiefs fans, what is the status of Patrick Mahomes?
Right now, I mean, what I'm reading out of Kansas City is he's been cleared to play. So he's going to be in. So I assume that, you know, he's practiced plenty, so loss of practice time is not going to hurt him too much. There's still a lot of speculation on what the injury was. You've seen, obviously looked like a concussion-ish, and that's the protocols he was in. But then you had Jay Glazer report earlier this week that it was more of a weird kind of freak thing where he got choked out and kind of lost consciousness. So, but right now he has been cleared, and so Patrick Mahomes will be playing tomorrow afternoon in the AFC Championship game.
You know, Jason, I think in that game specifically, the two quarterbacks are going to be, without a doubt, the keys to their team's success. I know it's easy to say that a quarterback's going to be a key to a team's success, but look, you know, both quarterbacks are mobile. Both quarterbacks have the ability to win a game on their own with their arms and with their legs. You know, this game is going to come down to, I think, either a it's going to the biggest matchup to me is going to be Buffalo's defense against Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's always for me. It I think it's do the Chiefs and Patrick play their game, or do they turn the ball over? If they play their game, I don't know that even though Buffalo does have a good offense, that they can keep up with what the Chiefs are doing. The last time they played, Buffalo ran two high safeties and basically said, okay, we're not going to let Mahomes beat us, but you can run the football. And the Chiefs ran for basically 250 yards. Will Buffalo implement the same strategy, you know, or are they going to change it up? I think if they implement the same strategy, I don't think it works well for them, because what you're saying is we're going to let the Chiefs do their thing, but we're going to score with them. And I don't know that you can, I think you have to kind of force Mahomes into some mistakes, and letting the Chiefs run the ball up and down the field for 250 yards is not really going to bode well for you with trying to pressure Mahomes into mistakes. I think that's the key to beating the Chiefs.
You know, and obvious, I don't think Buffalo is going to go with the same plan because they saw how well it worked last time. So I don't see them doing exactly the same thing. The intrigue is going to be in the NFC. I mean, you've got two great young quarterbacks in the AFC. On the flip side, you've got the elder statesman of football. You've got Tom Brady. You've got Aaron Rodgers. You've got one guy who is in the running for NFL MVP, and you've got another guy who they've already done his bust for the Hall of Fame. That game, I can tell you right now, if Tampa Bay beats Green Bay, the Super Bowl, the hype around the Super Bowl is going to be beyond electric, Jason. It's going to be beyond electric.
I think it's going to be a little beyond electric no matter who goes there, but obviously Brady taking this team back will be electric. Because I think from our earlier conversation, I think the Chiefs are going to win. So now you're going to have kind of the old guard and new guard no matter who comes out of the NFC, whoever comes out of that game. But I think there's a lot of the hype train is definitely with the Bucks right now within the media. I think the media and a lot of the country wants to see Tom in that game.
And isn't that so different from how it's been the last 20 years? Everybody is rooted against the Patriots. Now all of a sudden Tom Brady goes to Tampa Bay and he's got the love behind him going to a new team. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it was Belichick holding, you know, putting up a love barrier for the media and Tom Brady. I don't know, but Brady now has got this newfound popularity with the Bucks. And you know, if you look at this game, you look at this team, Green Bay's defense is better, but it's not as good as Tampa Bay's.
You hit the nail right there, Rob. Because right now, the last, I would say, 6 weeks, Aaron Rodgers has been playing like a man possessed. And I don't think there's a quarterback in the NFL playing better than Aaron Rodgers right now. Even Brady, who's been playing decent, Brady hasn't been playing great. He's been playing decent. It's been the defense that's kind of carried Tampa. And so can the Tampa defense affect Aaron Rodgers like they did earlier in the season when Tampa Bay beat them 38-10 back in October?
Right.
Can they still affect him? Aaron Rodgers was awful that day, was 16-35, two interceptions, no touchdowns, only threw for 160 yards. They couldn't run the ball. It was a mess offensively. This game particularly is one of the reasons I did not buy the Packers for three quarters of the season, because I saw this game and I shouldn't have done that. But which can Tampa Bay do that? Can they affect them? And can the Tampa Bay offense make enough plays, you know, to score enough points to where this thing, because I don't think it's going to be 38-10, but I think it's going to get in the mid 20s.
You know, the interesting thing to me, this is a legacy game for Aaron Rodgers. This is not a legacy game for Tom Brady. His legacy is already established. This is not going to do, if Tom Brady loses this game, it is not going to do anything to his legacy. Aaron Rodgers wins this game, this takes his legacy up a notch. And so to me, I think this game is a lot more important for Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, Tom Brady wants to win a Super Bowl with Tampa Bay, win one in both conferences, you know, show the Patriots that he still had it left, you know, and I get that aspect of it. And it would be it would just be more polish on that Hall of Fame bust for Tom Brady. But for Aaron Rodgers to beat Tom Brady in the NFC Championship game, to me, I think is going to give him a bigger boost than Tom Brady beating Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, you're 100% right. I think and Aaron Rodgers, if you look in the pantheon of quarterbacks in his generation, there's it's Manning, Brady, not any particular order, Roethlisberger, and Rodgers. And to a man or a person, the NFL scouts will say Aaron Rodgers is the most talented of those three. Arm talent, brain, ability to throw, all that. But his team has done the worst. They have not had the team success. And that goes back to Aaron Rodgers and his personality, and I think some of his quirkiness and some of the issues he's had with teammates and coaches out. He's kind of tainted the way people think of him in the rankings. A win today will move him probably above Roethlisberger and into the Brady, like into that conversation, and maybe even above them because of that arm talent.
Well, that'll be the first game tomorrow, 12:05, and then Buffalo and Kansas City will be the late one, and then we'll be talking Super Bowl 55, my friend. You have a great week, and we'll talk next week. We'll touch on Super Bowl. We didn't get to the head coaching situations, but maybe there'll be a high. Maybe there won't be one left next week when we talk, and we can look towards the NFL draft as well. That'll do it for the Locker Room Around the House with Eric G. is next.